Hello, this is your Polycast for Thursday, May 5th, your daily check-in on Minnesota politics. I'm Mike Mulcahy in the Minnesota Public Radio newsroom. On today's edition, Minnesota Republicans and Donald Trump, and one teenager struggle to graduate. DFL Governor Mark Dayton wants House Republicans to release a detailed plan for public construction projects, Tim Pugmire reports.
With just 2.5 weeks left in the session, Dayton said he's concerned about having enough time for a thorough bonding bill debate. Dayton released his $1.4 billion plan back in January, and Senate Democrats countered this week with a $1.5 billion bill. So far, House Republicans have said only that they have a $600 million target for bonding. House Speaker Kurt Dowd said he wants agreements reached first on transportation and taxes.
We think those are two issues that Minnesotans care a heck of a lot more about accomplishing here in session before we start borrowing money to pay for other things.
Tim Pugmire, Minnesota Public Radio News.
Minnesota senators have voted unanimously to ban cell phone cases that resemble handguns. The bill would prohibit the manufacture, sale, or possession of phone cases in the state that look like a pistol or another firearm. Republican Senator Bill Ingebretson of Alexandria says the cases are dangerous because they could too easily be mistaken for a real weapon.
Now, frankly, this is a good start. Those of you that have kids and grandkids know that we have squirt guns. We have look-alike guns that we buy for the enjoyment of our own kids that if you put them side by side with a service weapon of one of the officers out on the street, you can't really tell the difference. We should have been paying attention to this long ago.
The 60-0 vote yesterday came on a bill that's the same as one awaiting a final vote in the state house. Minnesota Republicans now know Donald Trump is their nominee in waiting for president. Some of those who will share November's ballot say they will work with the hand they've been dealt, and they'll strive to keep the focus on local concerns. Others aren't saying anything at all after condemning Trump for months. Brian Bax caught up with top state Republicans and filed this report.
Trump barreled through a field of prominent Republicans en route to a nomination he now has all but locked up. But the billionaire businessman didn't fare so well in Minnesota, where he was a distant third in the March precinct caucuses. Many top Republicans have kept their distance from Trump. They now have to determine how to navigate an election environment where he'll be their party's lead voice. Republican House Speaker Kurt Dowd is a national convention delegate, but says his top aim this November is preserving a GOP House majority. Dowd says House Republicans will work with Trump's team to the extent they have to.
We're excited for this election season, and frankly, we're going to set our own destiny here and not rely on anybody.
As for Dowd's own allegiance, that's another story. You were with Walker at first. You said you voted for Rubio. You joined a slate that was pushed by the Cruz campaign. Are you willing to go as far as to say you'll personally support Donald Trump?
You know, I don't know that my support matters all that much, and I haven't been vocal about supporting anybody since Governor Walker got out of the race. I also don't believe that people are going to make a decision on who they vote for based on who I'm going to vote for. So,
a Star Tribune poll this week had Clinton ahead of Trump in a state head-to-head matchup. A Republican hasn't won Minnesota's electoral vote since 1972, so any nominee was looking at a steep climb. But Dowd and other Republicans point out that Hillary Clinton poses problems for Democrats, too. She got drubbed in Minnesota's caucuses by Vermont Senator Bernie Sanders. Senate Minority Leader David Hahn of Eden Prairie says it's too soon to count Trump out.
What we've been hearing for the past year is that Mr. Trump can't win. He can't possibly win. He's just impossible for him to win, but he keeps winning, and he keeps winning by bigger margins. So I think the sentiment that he can't win a general election is probably suspect as well, and we'll see what happens. There's a long way to go. But if he's the nominee, of course, I'm going to support the Republican nominee.
Even if Trump doesn't win the state or keep it competitive, some longtime Republicans say he could shuffle some races, such as the congressional rematch between Democratic Representative Rick Nolan and challenger Stuart Mills. Kent Kaiser teaches a course on political communication at the University of Northwestern in Roseville. He also has deep personal roots in Minnesota's 8th Congressional District and in Republican politics. Kaiser said Trump's protectionist view on trade will resonate in northeastern Minnesota, where the steel industry has suffered in the face of cheap Chinese exports. And Kaiser argues Trump's blunt, populist style will help draw the region's voters to him, who might also back other Republicans in the area.
I think he's going to go up there, and I think he will be able to lure a lot of voters because he's not going to put up with that kind of political correctness and that doublespeak that you often hear from the Democratic candidates when it comes to issues like the environment and mining.
Democrats contend Trump will boost their chances in races for congressional seats now held by Republicans. One is represented by fourth-termer Eric Paulson, and the other is being vacated by retiring Representative John Klein. House Minority Leader Paul Thiessen of Minneapolis says Republicans defending seats in the legislature won't be able to easily get out of Trump's shadow.
He is the representative of, nationally the representative of their party. And either they have to go along and support Donald Trump, or they have to make very clear to their constituents why they're not supporting the nominee of their party. And, you know, again, I think that it's pretty clear that Donald Trump doesn't represent where most Minnesotans are.
One Republican firmly in the Never Trump camp is Farmington Representative Pat Garofalo. He's blasted Trump relentlessly on Twitter. He's called Trump senile and incompetent and compared Trump's campaign to an hourly proctology exam. Just last week, Garofalo predicted a, quote, Hiroshima-like down-ballot disaster if Trump is GOP nominee. But the day after Trump's big win in Indiana, Garofalo was uncharacteristically mum, declining any comment now, or he says, over the next 6 months. Covering politics, I'm Brian Baxt, Minnesota Public Radio News.
Minnesota has one of the lowest high school graduation rates in the country for students of color. At Kennedy High School in Bloomington, most of the students are low-income and kids of color. Laura Ewan followed one student for the course of a school year to see what it would take for her to make it to graduation day.
Okay, so go ahead and just say your name and who you are.
I'm Diamond. What if I really did talk like that? That would be funny. My name is Diamond Sias, and I'm 17 years old in high school. It's my last year.
I met Diamond last fall at Beacon.
Like every senior
it's
year.
Kennedy High School's alternative learning program to help kids catch up on courses they need to graduate. Diamond, who's black, transferred to Kennedy this year with lots of missing credits. She's wearing ripped jeans and a pink T-shirt that says, Adorbs. But don't be fooled. Diamond is practically a grown lady, she tells me. Her parents aren't in the picture anymore. In fact, when we first met, she was living with her older sister, who was her guardian, and Diamond was helping raise her sister's kids.
If I don't go to work or if I don't make enough money, then we won't have a place to live. We, as in me and my sister and my niece's nephew. Since they've been born, I pretty much have raised them with my sister. So they're like my kids, you know, and I can't afford for that to happen. I would rather be stressed going through everything I'm going through than have them go through that.
For Diamond, school is an escape, a refuge.
I actually like school. I actually do like school.
But it's not the most pressing thing in her life. Her sister sometimes works overnight at the gas station, so it's up to Diamond to get up in the middle of the night to soothe and feed her baby niece. It means Diamond is exhausted the next morning. She gets sick a lot, and there's no guarantee she'll be in class on any given day. But when I talked to her back in November, she said one thing is a given: graduation. It's her ticket to somewhere.
It makes me so happy to even talk about it because I can just see the future just there instead of having to deal with now.
This is her plan. She's going to turn 18 just before she graduates. She'll enroll in a community college and study computer networking. And she's going to bring in real money, better than the jobs she has at the Mall of America. She'll get a place of her own. But when we meet up at Kennedy several weeks later, after winter break, things have changed for Diamond, drastically.
So what happened over the past month?
Ooh, that's a lot. Some personal things with my sister and me happened, and, you know, we kind of fell off. So I ended up having to move out. So now I'm in a teen shelter life, I would say. It just finds ways to turn around.
It's not the first time she's been homeless. Diamond says when her mom kicked her out when she was 13, she went couch hopping. And years later, she lived out of her sister's car. Growing up, she moved around from one school to another, from Minneapolis to Duluth to North St. Paul. But losing her home in her final year of high school is so far from what she envisioned for herself. And now, college and a career are no longer top of mind.
I'm already stressed out about school and then graduation and then working and then my living situation, so I don't want to stress myself out more. My dreams of being a computer engineer are, like, slowly dying.
When she's forced to think, really think about her situation, she has nothing but questions for how she ended up like this.
I have an A in her class.
You do?
99%.
Diamond's English teacher recently gave the class a writing assignment.
The next question was, what would you like to know that you have never learned, or what do you want to know more about? My answers were, what makes parents give up on their children? Why do I work 3 jobs at 17? Why am I homeless? Why can't I be happy and stress-free? What's the real purpose of school? Why does family hurt you the most? Sometimes I just, like, imagine if, when I was younger, if my mom did just give me away, like, just give me into foster care or something, if life would be different, if my personality would be different. I just think about that, like, every day, all the time.
Diamond doesn't have a typical high school experience. She says she has no friends, just a few adults at school who are in her corner. Some of the teachers and staff know what Diamond is going through.
You just shake your head and say, gosh, how do these kids do this and get through it?
Michelle Christensen runs the Beacon Alternative Program at Kennedy. She says she's in awe of Diamond, even at her low points. And back in January, this was a bad week. The stress of living in a shelter and not having a firm footing is sometimes too much for this 17-year-old to bear. And Diamond lost it. It happened when another staff person at the school called her out for being late to class. This is how Diamond remembers reacting.
You're making me even more mad because you know my situation and then you're going to tell me to come to school on time? All right, how about you adopt me? Adopt me. Provide me, drive me to school. Come pick me up. Maybe I'll get here on time.
She called the woman a word that she immediately regretted, and she apologized for it. Michelle Christensen told Diamond to leave the school immediately so the situation wouldn't get any worse. But Diamond doesn't even really remember it. Next thing she knew, she was sitting on a bus.
I'm so happy that Ms. Christensen told me to leave, because if she didn't tell me to leave, I would have, some probably would have happened really bad. So I was like, I was crying. Like, I was shaking, crying. Oh, yeah, you're lucky you told me to leave, because I haven't been that mad in a long time, because I'm a better person now, and I don't want to be the old Diamond.
Diamond's entire life has been like this, fight or flight, given the instability she's experienced.
My name is Diamond again, and this time we're in the mall. We're eating food, spicy, really spicy food, because we're both got a cold. You're eating tomato.
A couple months later, I meet her before her shift at a clothing store is about to begin. She's still determined to graduate, but it's going to be even tougher now. It's March. Diamond is still in the shelter. She has no leads on another place to live, and she's facing an ominous deadline.
Well, my time is up on the 15th of this month, so March 15th.
It's next week.
Yeah, thanks for telling me. It is. It definitely is next week.
Diamond says her mind has been racing. She's been having trouble sleeping and eating because she has so much to think about. With all that's been thrown at her, she says she feels like she's building a pyramid, but it keeps crumbling down. She says, what is she doing wrong?
Like, am I missing something here? I feel like I'm missing something very important. Okay, for example, you have a dad, you have a mom. What is their job? To be a dad and a mom. Where are you at? Where am I? Who's with me? Nobody's doing their job. Nobody.
The research would agree with Diamond. Parental involvement is strongly linked with children's success in school. I wanted to call Diamond's mom, but she didn't want me to contact her. Later in the spring, Diamond found a more stable place to live. It's a transitional living center in St. Paul, just for youth, and she can stay there for a much longer stretch of time. Last month at Kennedy, Diamond meets again with Mrs. C., Michelle Christensen, who coordinates the Beacon program.
I want to talk to you about your credits. Just wrap up where we are.
She has good news. Diamond is still on track to graduate in June. Christensen says she knows Diamond will be successful. If the last year has proved anything, it's that she has dedication.
It's hard because, you know, I've never been in your shoes. And I know and you, along with several other students, have to work 30, 40 hours a week and then come to school another 30-some hours a week. And it's exhausting.
It is very exhausting.
But you've done it. I mean, and you're going to get through it, and you're going to graduate in June.
It's not going to feel good until my grandma gets here.
Her grandma is coming in from out of state. Once she sees her, Diamond says, she'll finally know that graduation day is for real and that she's made it. But shortly after that conversation, Diamond stopped returning my texts for a while, and she started missing a lot more school. She has only a few weeks until the end of the year, but if she's absent just one more day, she'll have to go to summer school. The last I heard from Diamond was today. "I'm not okay," she texted me. I wrote back, "What happened? I'm concerned." Diamond responded with just one word that seemed to sum it up. "Life," she wrote. Laura Ewan, Minnesota Public Radio News, Bloomington.
And Laura filed that story yesterday. We're told that she's going to have lunch with Diamond today. And we'll let you know what happened. For now, that's your Polycast for this Thursday, your daily check-in on Minnesota politics. I'm Mike Mulcahy in the Minnesota Public Radio newsroom.